Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 16. But because of your hard and impenitent hearts, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each according to his works, to those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. He will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. For when Gentiles, who do not have the law, by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. The Lord's Word. Judgment Day is coming. And this being true, does it make you think? Does it make you consider what will happen to you on that day? With its reality reaching from the end of time to you today, do you consider the ramifications of Judgment Day when it comes to how you live your life? Unfortunately, there is a tendency to go about our day-to-day lives living as if judgment on Judgment Day will be something that will happen to other people. People within the Christian community are particularly vulnerable to this misconception, perhaps thinking, well, God wouldn't do that to me. I'm in good with God. I go to church. I read the Bible. I've been baptized. I'm a Christian. Judgment is for murderers and rapists and such. Now, perhaps the thought is that Judgment Day is too far off in the hazy future to even worry about. Didn't Jesus say there's trouble enough today, after all? And then there are those who think that Judgment Day is just an old wives' tale, a myth, a metaphor, a gimmick of some dumb horror movie. And some folks just write it off as simply another means for religious authorities to exert control over people through fear. Now, whatever the case, writing off, ignoring, or just not taking into account the ramifications of God's judgment on Judgment Day when it comes to how we live our lives is very dangerous. The Scriptures are absolutely clear on this matter. Romans 14, 10 through 12. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Also, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And Jesus himself said in Matthew 12:36, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. And of course, here in Romans 2:16, speaking of that day when God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. Everyone, whether great or small, everyone who has ever lived or ever will live will stand before God in judgment. Every thought, every word, every deed, whether good or evil, will be judged. And thus it is in your and my best interest to ask, according to what standard will God judge me? And now before we answer that question, let us consider some of the context of this passage. We do this because understanding the context is the key to understanding the passage. First off, notice that Paul never mentions faith in his discussion of good works here. He never mentions faith. Yet faith in Jesus Christ is a major theme of Romans, righteousness through faith, justification by faith. And so we should mark the absence of any mention of faith in this passage as significant. And Paul says here, particularly in Romans 2, 7, 10, and 13, that it is by doing good and following the law, without any mention of faith, that by doing good and following the law, that a person escapes God's wrath and is justified. In other words, a person is made righteous before God by doing good works. Yet in the very next chapter, Paul writes that there is no one righteous at all. Romans 3:10. And then in 3:12, that no one does good, not even one. And then in 3:20, that no one will be declared righteous in God's sight, in his sight, God's sight, by observing the law. And so what is Paul doing here? Is he contradicting himself? After all, Romans 2:13 and Romans 3:20 are totally contradictory statements. Both cannot be true. However, making two contradictory statements does not necessarily mean one is contradicting oneself, particularly when the contradiction is done on purpose in order to make a point. And that's what Paul is doing. Moving from Romans 2:4 into verse 5, Paul continues to address the mindset of self-righteous people whom he accuses of stubbornness and an unrepentant heart, making statements on works righteousness without any mention of faith. What Paul's doing is he's setting the self-righteous up, preparing to smash their false notions with the gospel truth. Indeed, what Paul is doing is laying out the biblical condition for retaining eternal life without Christ Jesus. And this is key to understanding the whole passage. In Romans 2, 5 through 16, Paul is laying out the biblical condition for attaining eternal life without Jesus Christ, who by grace saves us through faith. And so keep that in mind. Now back to Judgment Day. Since everyone will stand before the judgment seat of the Lord to be judged, according to what will God judge? And verse 6 answers, God will give to each person according to what he has done. Now, outside of Christ, our works determine what type of judgment that God will hand out come Judgment Day. And this is true for everybody. Paul then, in verses 7 through 8, followed up by verses 9 through 10 there, describes two kinds of people, the righteous and the wicked. He describes them in terms of their goals, what they seek, which leads to their works, what they do, and their recompense, where they're going. And notice that Paul does not give a middle ground here. One is either wicked or righteous. There is no one who is neutral. In verse 8, Paul mentions the wicked, those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. And these are the folks that are infatuated with themselves and engrossed in self-centered goals, whatever those goals may be. The self-seeking inevitably turn away from the truth in a self-serving lie, and as such, serve unrighteousness. In other words, serve evil, reaping God's wrath and fury, also tribulation and distress, as it says there in verse 9, which is their due. And such is in contrast to the righteous, described in verse 7, who seek for glory and honor and immortality. And these folks patiently strive, persevering by always doing good in life. From verse 10, they are consistently centered on the Lord, seeking God's glory and honor, hoping to be likewise glorified and honored by God for their good works. And they strive for immortality, seeking to experience the unfading joy of God's eternal presence, persevering in well-doing and in good works. They are steadfast, never looking left or right, and they are disciplined. As such, they will reap the benefits of eternal life, receiving glory and honor and peace, which is their due. So God is going to judge each according to their works and give recompense, either wrath and fury or glory and honor and peace. Even more, his judgment is entirely objective. Paul emphasizes this in verse 11. There is no favoritism with God. God is not partial. The Lord is not going to grant any special pardon based on your talents or power or wealth, or based on your position in society, or based on who your parents are, or based on who you are. There is no, but God, it's me. You know me. You wouldn't want to hurt me. That's not how it works. The Lord's judgment is objective and without partiality, totally righteous and just. His judgment is based on an objective evaluation of every thought, every word, every deed of our lives, whether good or bad. Now, under which heading do you think that you fall? Based on and according to your works, under which heading do you fall come judgment day? Righteous or wicked? Be honest. Righteous or wicked? Well, let's dig a little bit further here into what Paul is saying. It is eternally imperative, that you and I understand whether we are one of the wicked or one of the righteous according to our works. So similar to before, we need to ask, according to what standard will God judge? By what standard does he and will he judge your and my works as either good or bad with our eternal destinies at stake? And what about people who don't have that standard to live by? Well, remember God's moral law? You remember that? I preached a sermon specifically on the moral law as an introductory sermon to Dr. O's series on the Ten Commandments. And it was really on just a couple of months ago when I preached that. So hopefully that term is recently familiar in your mind if you were here or whether you were listening in. As it is, look at Romans 2. Again, Romans 2, verses 12 through 15. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. In verses 12 through 15 here, Paul addresses the Lord's standard for judgment, specifically referring to the law of Moses, the Torah, which includes the Ten Commandments. He also categorizes all people into either those who possess the law or those who do not possess the law. When it comes to those who possess the law, Paul seems to particularly to read on, because he immediately addresses the Jews after this passage, particularly have the Jews in mind. But this certainly parallels people. This parallels people who grew up in the church, are taught the Bible, and who partake of the benefits of the covenant community. And possessing the law comes with a moral obligation before God to keep his law. And being under the law is to be judged as righteous or wicked by the law, according to one's obedience to the law. Sin is any violation of the law, whether in thought, word, or deed. And God's standard is not that one just possesses, is taught, studies, and knows God's word and his law. The Lord's perfect standard is that one does the law. Verse 13 there. And even more, and this is critical, there is no minimum standard. The standard is not if you only sin, this many times, then you're good. But if you go over that number, you're doomed. Or if your sins are less than this number, then your good deeds, then you're fine. No, the word sinned here is unqualified. Sinned can mean to violate the law only one time or to violate it thousands of times. Thus, if a person who is under the law violates it only one time in their entire life, that person is judged by the law as being a sinner, unrighteous, by definition, wicked. James 2:10, also Malachi 3:18. And for any person who's under the law, only by doing the law perfectly, never once breaking it throughout their entire life, only by obeying the law perfectly in thought, word, and deed, will that person be justified by the law and fall into the category of being righteous. Then as for the second group of folks, of which Paul refers here in verses 12 through 15, they are those without the law. And this is everybody outside of the covenant community. Those who do not possess the law and are ignorant of what it says. Despite this, they do not get a pass come judgment. Ignorance is not an excuse. The Lord has written his moral standard upon the tables of their hearts, them having been made in his image. And the Lord will judge them based on how they live according to their own sense of right and wrong. I'll say it again. The Lord will judge them based on how they live according to their own sense of right and wrong. As Kent Hughes puts it, God's judgment is so perfect that he takes into account one's moral perceptions in rendering judgment. While their conscience might try to excuse them, saying, well, I've done a lot of good things and right things in my life, ultimately their conscience will give evidence against them, accusing them. Like all men and women, they just cannot live perfectly according to morality, even morality as they understand it. And note that this passage also answers that inevitable pesky question, what about the native in the jungle who knows nothing of the Bible or the God of the Bible? So Paul is being all-inclusive here. All-inclusive. Everybody is being brought to account. He doesn't want a single person who has ever lived or ever will live be left out. Everyone who sins, violating the law of God, or even their own sense of what is right and wrong, in thought, word, and deed, will be judged on the day of judgment as deserving God's wrath and fury. God is not partial. You and I and everyone will be judged. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. We are either wicked or righteous according to our deeds. And so I asked earlier, based on and according to your works, under which heading do you fall come judgment day? Righteous or wicked? Now in your mind, you don't have to tell me, in your mind, how did you answer? And perhaps you answered, well, I'm one of the righteous. At this point, do you want to reconsider that? Do you actually classify yourself as someone who only does good all the time, never, ever having sinned, not even once, ever? My friend, if you still answer yes to that, I have bad news for you. God the judge, he disagrees. He disagrees. And as mentioned earlier in the next chapter, here in Romans, it's very clear on this point. No one does good, not even one, Romans 3:12. And all have sinned, Romans 3:23. No one at all has perfectly kept the law. No one has ever lived a sinless life. No one is righteous. No one deserves to receive glory, honor, immortality, and peace. That is, no one except Jesus. 1 Peter 2:22 and Hebrews 4:15. Jesus alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. And what this truth means for us is that we all, you and me and everyone else, fall into the category of the wicked described in verses 8 through 9. And based on and according to our works, we are all wicked sinners deserving God's wrath and the final judgment. And so what must we do? Well, I hope it's clear that you and I cannot do anything to save ourselves from God's wrath. We are too far gone. We are just too far gone, as we have all sinned. And yet recognizing the truth of this passage is a means by which the Lord works in our hearts, bringing us to conviction, like Paul wrote in chapter 1. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Each of us must come to a point of conviction where our hard heart is softened to a place in which the truths of God's word speak to us, lead us, that it takes us to that point of conviction. And at that point of conviction, humbled before God, you and I must recognize and acknowledge that we are sinners desperately needing saving, and that we are helpless to save ourselves. But the point of conviction is not a point of despair. The scriptures teach that the Lord solved our problems for us. He solved our problem for us. The good news, the gospel, is that the Father sent the Son, Jesus, to save us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but have eternal life, John 3:16. Jesus proclaimed the gospel of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And Jesus also said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Luke 5, 32. And this is good news. This is good news because you and I, we're all sinners. And so His call to repent is for us. Likewise, His forgiveness is for us. He forgives us when we humble ourselves before Him and repent while trusting Him to forgive us. And so, forgiven, the Lord cleanses us from our sin, removing our unrighteousness, making us righteous, 1 John 1:9, Romans 3:22. And this is why we celebrate the birth of Christ every year. This is why. While we celebrate His birth at Christmas, Jesus came to save His people. He came to save His people. He was born as a baby, a human baby, to grow into a man, to live a perfect life, and to die on the cross, taking the punishment that we deserve due to our sins, taking God's wrath upon Himself that was inflicted upon Him on the cross so that we might be saved in repentance, trusting in the Lord to save you. He forgives. He applies Christ's righteousness to you. Thus the Lord's righteousness becomes your righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake He made Him," Jesus, "to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." And on the other hand, if you do not possess, indeed, if you do not become the righteousness of God, then you remain one of the wicked, facing God's wrath and fury come judgment day. My friends, face up to what you deserve. You deserve God's wrath. You and I, we deserve God's wrath. We do. And you and I will stand before the Lord to give an account of all that we have done in thought, word, and deed, both good and bad. But if you are in Christ, if you are in Christ, saved by grace through faith, on the day of judgment, as you stand before the Lord, He will acknowledge you as a son or a daughter. Galatians 4, 4 through 7. He will fully pardon you, declaring you righteous based on the work of Jesus Christ. The Lamb who was slain took our sins. Our judge is our Savior. But think on that. although declared righteous, you will give an account of your life. Every thought, every word, every deed, whether good or bad. Now, how do you want that time of judgment to go? How you live your life matters to that effect. He has told you what he expects of his people. Obey his commands. He has called you to follow him in denial of self, taking up your cross as God's righteousness. If you're a believer, that's you. It's God's righteousness. The Lord expects you to strive to live righteously. Philippians 3:14. Sanctified and enabled by his Spirit. Philippians 2:13 and 2 Thessalonians 2:13. And with that in mind, when you stand before the Lord, when you stand before him, is your life such that you will hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Matthew 25:20-23. It can be. It can be. Let this word from Philippians 1:6 encourage you. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Judgment Day. The book of Revelation describes it in Revelation 20:11-15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Is your name written in the book of life? In repentance, trust in the Lord Jesus and be saved. Follow him, live for him, keep striving. His Spirit enables you, because God will judge everyone according to their deeds. We must seek after Jesus Christ.